All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Michael Iacopino, and I am counsel to the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee. And we are here tonight in docket number 2015-06, the joint application of Northern Pass Transmission and Public Service Company of New Hampshire for a certificate of site and facility for the project commonly referred to as Northern Pass. I am the outside counsel to the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee, and I was appointed to run this meeting by our chairman, Martin Honigberg. Thank you all for coming out. In this hearing, this hearing is considered to be a public information session. This is a time for the public to learn about the Site Evaluation Committee and its processes, and I will put on a little presentation about the Site Evaluation Committee in a moment. It's also time for you to learn about the project as presented by the applicant, and they will be provided the opportunity to make a presentation as well. And when I say the applicant, I mean Northern Pass. If any time during the pendency of this application anybody needs information or has questions, I would suggest that the first place that you go to is the Site Evaluation Committee's website. It's up there on the screen, www.nhsec.nh.gov. At our website, we have posted the application, the filings, the pleadings, and we get them up on the website as quickly as we can. Also, you see there Pamela Monroe's email. Pamela is the administrator for the Site Evaluation Committee. She is to my left here. And if you have questions, you can email her at that email address, or you can call the office at 271-2435. Our agenda tonight is going to be similar to what I see many familiar faces here tonight, so it's going to be similar to what many of you have seen before. Essentially, we're going to start off with a presentation about the Site Evaluation Committee. Once I have completed that presentation, we'll allow the Northern Pass to make a presentation about their project. We will then take questions from the public. And those questions should be written out, please, on the green sheets. If you don't have a green sheet, you should probably get one. Some folks will be walking around with them. They're also available out front. What we try to do up here is we try to categorize all of the questions so that, for instance, this one that I just happened to randomly pull off the table is about public health and safety. We try to categorize them so that to the extent there are similar questions, we only need to ask the question once. Questions can be addressed to me to answer about process at the Site Evaluation Committee, or you can address questions to the applicant about their project. I can tell you there are certain questions that you won't get answers to, such as what will the Site Evaluation Committee do? I cannot tell you what they will do. There's a whole process that's going to go on before they make their decision. And again, in your questions, please ask questions. There's also blue sheets available if you wish to make a written comment, or if you wish to make an oral statement, fill out one of the yellow cards to make an oral statement. But the questioning part of the process is so that people can get their questions answered and the public can get the information that they need. After we go through the questions, and I will try to go through them all, of course, except for those that are repetitive, we will then move on to the portion of this meeting where we hear from you, the public. And if you want to make a public statement, please fill out one of the yellow little cards that look like this. With one exception, we're going to call everybody in the order in which we get their yellow card. And again, your statements should be statements. It's not a time to get up and try to ask me a question or the applicant a question. And if you do that, you probably won't get an answer. Okay? Please remember that everything that goes on in this meeting is being recorded by our court reporters here. They will not take down anything shouted from the audience out of order. They will not be able to take down any singing. Please, if you make an oral statement, please make sure that you identify yourself, tell us how to spell your name, and speak clearly. So that's the process that we're going to use tonight. As I said, this is a public information session. We are holding one of these in each county where the project is proposed. This is the fourth out of five, and tomorrow night we're holding the final one in Lincoln, New Hampshire, for Grafton County. There will also be what we call joint public hearings that will be held in each county. And at those hearings, the subcommittee that's hearing this case will actually be present to hear from the public and from the applicant. So at this point, I'm going to go into the presentation about the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee and explain a little bit about our process. After that, I'll turn it over to the applicant to explain their project. As I stated before, there's our website and the important email address, as well as a phone number for the Site Evaluation Committee. The Site Evaluation Committee is created by RSA 162H. RSA 162H has a number of purposes that the legislature has published. The first is to balance the impacts and benefits of site selection on very important considerations: the welfare of the population, private property, the location and growth of industry, the economic growth of the state, the environment, historic sites, aesthetics, air and water quality, natural resources, and public health and safety. In addition, another purpose of the statute and of the Site Evaluation Committee is to avoid undue delay in the construction of new facilities. And as you'll hear later in the presentation, there are time frames that are contained within the statute that do that. And also to provide full and timely consideration of the environmental consequences of any transmission line or energy project. And one of the purposes of the committee is to provide full and complete public disclosure about projects that are proposed for the state. And finally, to ensure that the construction and operation of energy facilities are treated as a significant aspect of land use planning, in which all environmental, economic, and technical issues are resolved in an integrated fashion. In essence, the Site Evaluation Committee is a statewide planning board for energy projects. It's designed to take all the various permitting that a energy project would otherwise require if there was not a Site Evaluation Committee, and to integrate it into a single process. And that process will include environmental, economic, and technical issues. The Site Evaluation Committee's authority preempts the local authority of your zoning boards and planning boards by statute. It's considered, sometimes referred to as, a supermarket theory of permitting or one-stop shopping. It provides an integrated process for the consideration of how energy facilities and transmission lines will be sited, constructed, and operated in the state of New Hampshire. In essence, the state legislature has determined that the operation of, well, the siting, construction, and operation of energy facilities and transmission lines is a statewide, it's not me, is a statewide issue. So that is what the legislature has provided to us and the process they have provided to us. Today, the Site Evaluation Committee is made up of the folks that are up on the screen right now. Our chairman is the chairman of the Public Utilities Commission, Martin Honigberg. Our vice chairman is the commissioner of the Department of Environmental Services, Thomas Burak. Robert Scott and Catherine Bailey, who are both PUC commissioners, sit on the Site Evaluation Committee, as does our commissioner of the Department of Transportation, Victoria Sheehan, as does our DRED commissioner, Department of Resources and Economic Development, Jeffrey Rose. Also, the Site Evaluation Committee includes either the commissioner of cultural resources or the director of historic resources, and usually it's the director of historic resources. And that's either, it would be either Van McLeod or Elizabeth Muzzy. We have two public members, although there is a vacancy in one spot. One of our public members died a couple weeks ago, Roger Hawk. Our other public member is Patricia Weathersby, and we have an alternate public member, Rachel Whitaker. That's the committee. Each member of the committee that's a state official has the authority to substitute somebody in his or her place to sit on a subcommittee that considers either a transmission line or energy facility before the committee. And in this particular case, there has been a subcommittee appointed, and there have been some designations made. Chairman Honigberg will chair this committee, this subcommittee. Commissioner Burak has appointed Craig Wright, who is a Department Air Resources Division Director, to sit in his place on the committee. Commissioner Bailey from the PUC will sit. Commissioner Rose has designated the Director of Economic Development, Christopher Way, to sit in his place. And Commissioner Sheehan has appointed William Oldenburg from the Assistant Director of Project Development at the Department of Transportation to sit in her place. And of course, our public member, Patricia Weathersby, will sit. And also now recently appointed our alternate member, Rachel Whitaker, will sit on this subcommittee as well. So those are the folks who will be charged with the very important obligation of determining whether or not this certificate has applied for, should be granted or denied. In every case before the Site Evaluation Committee where there is an application to site or construct an energy facility or a transmission line, counsel for the public is appointed. He or she is appointed by the Attorney General and has the obligation to represent the public in seeking to protect the quality of the environment and in seeking to assure an adequate supply of energy. Counsel for the public has all the rights of any party, same rights as the applicant in a proceeding, same rights as any party in a court of law would have. Counsel for the public can cross-examine witnesses, present evidence, and partake in the proceedings just as if they were a party in a formal action. In this case, Senior Assistant Attorney General Peter C.L. Roth has been appointed, and he is here. I'm going to give the floor to him in just a second, but there is his contact information. So, Peter, if you'd like to introduce yourself to the folks and tell them about your role, what you can do.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Peter Roth. I'm a Senior Assistant Attorney General, just like the slide said. I was appointed by the Attorney General, Joseph Foster, in this case. I've been appointed in this position as counsel for the public in a number of other cases since approximately 2006. Including the Laidlaw plant, which was built here, and the Granite Reliable Wind Farm, also in Cohoes County in Dummer. I take these engagements very seriously, and I will hire experts to analyze the evidence in this case and to present evidence of our own about this case and about this project. We will look at it, take a very hard look at it, and evaluate it on behalf of the public. Now, I want everybody to understand that I do not represent any particular person or any particular organization. So I can't provide any of you legal advice or counsel, even though my name is counsel for the public. That doesn't mean that I don't want to hear from you and that I won't listen to you. Quite the contrary. I very much want to hear from everybody, and that's why I've given my direct dial telephone number and my email address. So feel free to give me a call or send me an email and let me know what you think about this. It's important to me to understand what people think. But as I said, don't be surprised if I won't give you legal advice or counsel. I have, in this case, already engaged attorneys to assist me because the scope and scale of this project is unprecedented in New Hampshire, at least in my career. And so we've engaged the Primer Law Firm, which has an office in Littleton and Manchester, although I think they're primarily based in Burlington, Vermont. And with me this evening is Eli Emerson, whose office is in Littleton, although I think he lives in Vermont. Boo, yeah. So Eli has a great deal of utility law experience, essentially, really working for the business in Vermont, but he brings those talents here for our benefit. And we have another attorney from the firm, Tom Pappas, who couldn't come tonight, and he's an experienced litigator. So it's going to be a very interesting and long project. But again, if anybody has any questions, I'll be here this evening. I'll also be around tomorrow night. You can approach me after this or during a break, or you can call me or send me an email. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. As many of you in this room probably know, there's a lot that goes on before the application ever gets to the site evaluation committee, particularly in a case like this, in a docket like this that is relatively large. And what I've done in this slide is just sort of laid out a number of things that are undertaken by applicants and the committee and required before an application can actually be filed with the site evaluation committee. Anybody who's looking to put power into the grid or to contribute to the grid through transmission obviously has to deal with ISO New England, which is the independent operator who operates the electricity grid in New England. They have to perform environmental and resource studies and address the issues that are pertinent to their application. They have to attend, if they're smart, they will attend pre-permitting meetings and meet with various state agencies and regulators to find out what the rules are. They should meet with your regional planning commissions, your municipalities, sometimes conservation commissions, sometimes planning boards, sometimes zoning boards, sometimes boards of selectmen. Obviously, if you're going to build something like the Woodburner up in Berlin, you would want to have conversation with transmission companies. If you're going to transmit electricity, you're going to want to have power purchase agreements. You've got to arrange financing. You've got to deal with the tax aspects of any particular facility. And finally, before an application can be filed with the site evaluation committee, an applicant has to have pre-filing information sessions in each county. And those are not run by the SEC, but by the applicant themselves. And I understand that there was already one in this county, a pre-filing held in this room, sometime back in September, I think. And there was one held in each county where the transmission line will go. That's all before an application can even be filed. The applications are, this application is voluminous. It's approximately 27,000 pages long. All applications before the site evaluation committee must contain sufficient information to satisfy the application requirements for every state agency that would have permitting or other regulatory authority under state or federal law, and they have to have those application forms included in the application. An application also has to include a number of things, must reasonably describe in detail the type and size of each major part of the proposed project. It must identify the preferred choice and any other choice for the site of each major part of the proposed project. And obviously with a transmission line, which is a linear project as we refer to them, there are a lot of different sites involved. It must describe in reasonable detail the impact of each major part of the proposed facility on the environment for every site. It must describe in detail the applicant's proposals for dealing with environmental problems. It must describe in detail the applicant's financial, technical, and managerial capabilities to undertake siting, construction, and operation of the project. It must document that notice has been given to the governing body of each community where the facility is proposed to be located. And it must describe in reasonable detail the elements and financial assurances for a facility decommissioning plan. When the facility is no longer useful, how is it going to be dismantled and removed? And finally, they must provide additional information as required by the Site Evaluation Committee. And as of December 16, 2015, the Site Evaluation Committee has new rules that have additional requirements for applications. And this particular applicant will be subjected to those new rules. However, under the statute, we are required to give them sufficient time to supplement their application if that is required. We understand the applicant is seeking until March 15th to supplement its application. That's a decision that will be made by the chairman of the committee. There are certain time frames that the site evaluation committee must act under by statute. First, I spoke briefly about pre-application information sessions. Those have to be held by the applicant at least 30 days before they file their application. Once an application is filed, the application has to be distributed to each agency that has permitting or other regulatory authority, and it has to be reviewed by the committee itself. And the committee has to determine if the application is what we call complete. Complete doesn't mean it's going to be granted. It just means that it contains sufficient information for the committee to do its job, and also sufficient information to satisfy each of the state agencies that might have jurisdiction in the case. And that determination had to be made within 60 days of the filing of the application. And in this case, on December 18th, 2015, the Site Evaluation Committee voted to deem this application to be complete. Now, that's an important day because all of the rest of the time frames start on December 18th, 2015. We already have a subcommittee designated. I've shown you who the members of the subcommittee are. Right now, we are, I think today is January 20th. We are in the fourth of five public information sessions that we have to complete those within 45 days of acceptance of the application. And then after this process, where the idea is to get information out to you as the public, there will be a time for the public to speak to the committee members themselves, and we call those a joint public hearings. And they will be held in each county. There will be a schedule that will be issued and published. And we have to complete those five proceedings before St. Patrick's Day. And then the next date that is required is any agency that has permitting or other regulatory authority has to provide the Site Evaluation Committee with any draft conditions or any draft reports that it thinks that it is considering in imposing on their particular permits, so that there's ample opportunity for all the parties to the proceeding to consider those preliminary reports and draft conditions. And then, and that's 150 days after the application was accepted. In this case, that'll be May 16th. And then final decisions from all the state agencies are required in this particular case by August 15, 2016. Between August 15, 2016 and December 19th, 2016, the subcommittee of the Site Evaluation Committee is required to hold adjudicative hearings. Those are hearings that are very much like a courtroom trial. There will be witnesses. Those witnesses will be cross-examined. There will be exhibits presented by all of the parties. The Site Evaluation Committee will consider at the end of the adjudicative process everything that they've heard in the adjudicative process, everything that they've heard at the joint public hearings, everything that they've read in all of the transcripts, including the transcripts from meetings like tonight, before they reach any final decision in this case. That final decision has to be determined within 365 days of the acceptance of the application, and that date is December 19th, 2016. So those are the time frames that the Site Evaluation Committee will be operating under. There are many ways for the public to participate in the Site Evaluation Committee process. One you've already heard a little bit about. You can call counsel for the public and let him know what concerns you may have or not have about a project. There was an opportunity for members of the public to speak at the pre-filing information sessions. There's opportunity tonight to ask questions or to make a statement, and as there will be tomorrow night in Lincoln as well. There will be the public hearings that will be held before St. Patrick's Day, one in each county. And there'll be an opportunity for public statements at those meetings as well. We accept written public comment. Anytime you want to write a letter and tell us how you feel about any particular project, including this one, we will accept public written comments right through until the record is closed in the case. In other words, till once the committee starts deliberating. In fact, even tonight, if you're somebody who doesn't like to speak publicly, but you would like to leave us a written comment, there is a blue form. Please fill it out and leave that comment for us. That will go into the record, and will be considered by the subcommittee. And finally, the way to participate most fully, I guess, is by what we call filing a motion to intervene. And if that motion is granted, you will be provided the same rights as any other party to the proceeding. However, in order to file a motion to intervene, you must demonstrate that you have rights, duties, privileges, immunities, or other substantial interests that may be affected by the proceedings, and that your participation as a party in the proceedings will be in the interest of justice and will not impair the orderly and prompt conduct of the proceedings. In this case, any motions to intervene must be filed by February 5, 2016. Finally, you're probably wondering how is the site evaluation committee going to make this determination? After all of that process that I've just discussed has occurred, they will deliberate and make a determination. That will be after holding public information sessions like tonight, after holding joint public hearings, after holding adjudicative proceedings, after considering all the written comments and the various transcripts. They will deliberate in public, as they are required to do. And in their deliberations, they are required by statute to give due consideration to important information regarding the siting or route of a proposed facility. They have to give due consideration to the significant impacts and benefits. And they must consider whether the issuance of a certificate will serve the purposes of RSA 162H, which are those purposes that I showed you in the very first slide. In addition, in order to issue a certificate of site and facility, the site evaluation committee must find, by a preponderance of the evidence, these features right here. One, that the applicant has adequate financial, technical, and managerial capability to assure that the siting, construction, and operation of any facility it will comply with the terms and conditions of any certificate that may be granted. Number two, that the facility will not unduly interfere with the orderly development of the region, with due consideration having been given to the views of municipal and regional planning commissions and municipal governing bodies. And that's where municipal input into the site evaluation process comes in. Third, the site evaluation committee, before it can issue a certificate of site and facility, must find by a preponderance of the evidence that the proposed facility will not have an unreasonable adverse effect on aesthetics, historic sites, air and water quality, the natural environment, or public health and safety. And finally, the site evaluation committee, in order to issue a certificate of site and facility, must find that the issuance of the certificate will serve the public interests. Those are the criteria by law that the site evaluation committee is to use in making its determinations. Again, there's our website and important contact information. If at any point in time you'd like to see how this translates, please go on our website, pull up a final order in any of the dockets that are on there, and you can see some examples of how the Site Evaluation Committee applies those standards and goes through the process that I've discussed here today. Now, at this point, we're going to allow the applicants to make a presentation about the project to you, and then we will go into the question and answer period, followed by the statements, public statements. Again, if you have a question, please write it on a green sheet. Please remember that these should be questions, not statements. If you'd like to make a written statement but not wish to speak at the microphone, feel free to write it out on one of the blue sheets, and that will go into our record as well. And finally, if you wish to speak here tonight, fill out one of the yellow cards that looks like this. And we're going to call those, with one exception, for somebody who has a meeting to get to, in the order in which they've come in. Thank you.